They pop crowds. They pop corn. They pop culture. It's the lowdown.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the latest installment of the Lowdown Popcast, where we keep it popping on all of your favorite topics about real life. I am the voice of PCW, the voice of Lugolf Elgin Demons Football, and the host of the Lowdown Popcast, Elliot Poston, where you can be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Lowdown Popcast. You can follow me and keep up with my music stuff at the Elliot Poston. And joining me tonight is none other than your brother in Christ.
What's up, man?
He is the host and founder of the Jamal Bates Morning Show that you can listen to on weekday mornings from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Pastor Jamal Bates.
What's up, my brother? What's going on, man? I feel like I'm on the radio right now. Should I have my radio voice on, or like what? Like, what are we doing? Radio voice or like regular?
So, I always feel like you always have a radio voice, man.
I'm honored to be here, man. Thank you for inviting me, bro. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, man. So I'm gonna try and keep it as professional as possible.
Cut it out, bro.
Being on radio, radio. Look at me speaking, calling it out, man. Lord. You know, I'm going to try and keep it as a, you know, just, I say professional, man. You know, we just going to have a conversation, man.
Right.
Because, dude, first of all, I love watching your growth. I love everything that you've continued to do and progress. I remember the first time I met you.
Where did we meet, Elliot? I forgot. Where did we meet?
We met on your show.
I know how we met. I think I know maybe some people we met through, but how did we meet?
We met on your show. You were recording with Anya Dixon.
Yeah.
And we were in an old studio. It looked like, if I remember correctly, it was like a house.
Was it in Columbia?
It was. It was near the Obama Mart. Was it near the Obama Mart?
It was in that area, yeah. We were using, that was someone's, I think it was either Angus Studio or David. When our friend
Pendergrass?
His studio.
So I don't think it was Dave's house. I think it was it might have been Anya's.
Yeah. It's our studio, right.
But we I met you there. Me and J Will.
Yeah.
Pastor J Will now.
Right.
Wrote a song called Freedom Awaits, and we performed it live on your show.
Wow. How many years ago was that, man? That's crazy.
Bruh.
You've had a whole family since then, huh?
Man, I got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old since then.
Wow.
And you know,
wow.
I may not have been married. I think I was married. If I was married, it was freshly married.
But
it's been a minute.
Yeah. Wow. We go back a long time, man.
Yeah. Down like four flats.
Come on, bro. Come on.
I mean, since we've met, you've become a pastor.
Listen, brother, I've become a pastor now. I have three. I say multiple stations that I work for now. So God's been blessing, man. I tell people now, Elliot, that where I am now in my life, I prayed to be where I am right now in my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm praying for a different level, but where I am right now in my life, I prayed for, with the pastor portion. We can get into that later on. I wasn't looking to be a pastor.
Yeah.
And I tell that story everywhere I go. I love it now. Don't get me wrong. I love my people. I love my church. I love serving, but I wasn't out here putting in resumes to be a pastor. But I do believe it was in my future, but I think it happened when God wanted that.
I mean, it's kind of how it flows, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whenever we walk in purpose and walk in his will, and it's just like, hey, I know this is going to happen, but whenever it happens, I'm cool.
Listen.
And then he's bam.
He did it. Yeah, he did it, man. But yeah, I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, you were a youth pastor at one point?
I was. As a matter of fact, I was the youth pastor. I was youth pastoring, I guess we could say, at my home church.
Okay.
When I got called to become a pastor, I was serving at my home church, Little Zion Baptist Church in Blythewood, South Carolina, as a youth pastor. I think I was in my fifth year as a youth pastor there. And that's when God, you know, an open door came for me to become a pastor of a church.
Man, so, take us through that. So take us through that journey. I can speak for myself that youth pastoring was not the calling on my life.
See, I loved it, man, because it gave me an opportunity to connect with the young people. It gave me an opportunity. You know, we're both creatives. So it also gave me an opportunity to be creative.
Yeah.
Especially on Sunday morning when it came for the messages. It gave me an opportunity to research and use what I did a lot of when I was the youth pastor at my church. I would take the songs that were popular at the time and I would implement those songs in my sermons. You know what I'm saying? To try to make it relate to what I was talking about that particular sermon, but that Sunday. But yeah, so I was youth pastor there, man, for 5 years. I've been a member at my home church for a while. But I was youth pastor there for 5 years. And long story short, brother, how I got to where I am now, I was minding my own business. My pastor had been trying to get me, you know, to get ordained and everything, because I believe he also saw the calling on my life to become a pastor as well. But I kept putting it off, because as we both know, and those watching and listening knows, there's a church in every corner.
Oh, facts.
You know, there's no excuse for anyone. I just say, I can't find a church home. There's a church in every corner. So because of that, you know, I wasn't one of those folks I hear, you know, putting in my resume and saying, hey, pick me. I want to pastor a church. Pick me. That wasn't who I was. But I received a phone call one day while I was serving at my church. Not while I was serving, but, you know, while I was still there.
Yeah.
From a cousin of mine. Well, from my mom first. And my mom was telling me about a young lady who she works with, said, hey, her church, you know, is looking for a pastor and she may be calling you. So she did call me. And it turned out that the young lady that called me, she's good friends with a cousin of mine, a close cousin of mine. So my cousin told her that I was looking for a church to pastor. Yep. I'm like, I was, really?
First of all, you're lying. Second.
That's my family. I love her, man. But, you know, because at the time I was licensed in the Baptist church, you know, you had to be ordained, you know, to become a pastor of a church. You know, yep. I was licensed at the time. That's it. Me and the young lady from another church, we talked, and I went over there and I preached one Sunday, man. And I've been there for, I think I'm in my third year now. I've been there for 3 years. I went that one Sunday, preached for them, came back the next Sunday, came back the following Sunday. About 3 months later, they voted me in to be their pastor. About 2 months after that, I believe, I got my ordination. I went through the catechism for the Baptist church. Officially became a reverend in the Baptist church. And I celebrate my third year. I celebrate my third year next year in February. So
I never realized.
That's how that happened.
I never realized the catechism was something within the Baptist church. I always thought that was just Catholic.
Nah, man, we have to. And the way it's done in the Baptist church, I think mine was a little more, mine wasn't as intense as they usually are, because this was during COVID. So it wasn't as intense as it usually is. Because the way it is, you know, they give you a written exam and then they also give you an oral exam as well. And basically both exams are the same. And you also have to sit in front of, you know, a board of preachers, of pastors, and they examine you. They ask you questions about, you know, about the Word of God and get your thoughts about it to make sure you're, you know, sane and make sure that you're, you know, to make sure that you know what you're talking about, you know. But mine wasn't that intense, and I thank God for that, but it was still a very great thing to go through, you know. And my pastor,
I'm sure it was heavy. I'm sure you felt the burden.
Yeah. Even before I went through the catechism, or even before I got licensed, let me back up. Even before my pastor licensed me and others at my church at the time, he took us through a year class where he taught us some basic things, hermeneutics and everything like that, about preaching and you know, in church and stuff like that. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I still have those notes to this day in my closet.
So, you know, I can only imagine, you know, the weight you may have felt. And, you know, were there times where you felt like, you know, unworthy?
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. I still get that feeling today.
So,
I'm not worthy of this.
Let's talk on that because I do like to try and focus on mental health at times on the show. And unworthiness isn't necessarily something that we've hit on.
Right.
But I know unworthiness can lead to depression.
Yeah.
I know it can lead to anxiety.
Right.
What's some things that you found help you combat that unworthiness?
Just looking at, first of all, I think for me, again, going back to what I said earlier, this isn't something pastoring isn't something that I was out there looking to do. Like, you have some people there.
But you were probably already doing it anyways.
I said again?
But you were, but in reality, you were already doing it anyways.
Right. But I wasn't out there, like, you know, putting my resume in for a church and everything like that. Yeah. But I think what kind of helped me, man, is the fact that I really believe that this is God ordained. And I'm where I am is because of God, you know. So I believe that if God ordered my steps for it to happen the way it happened, in this moment, that I believe that God, he deemed me worthy. You know, people may not deem me worthy. I may not deem myself worthy. You know, I'm not perfect. And I tell my church family that all the time. I'm nowhere near perfect. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, that's not a free pass for me to go out here and sin and do whatever. That's not what I do. But, you know, I tell them all the time, I'm not worthy of being, I didn't feel like I was worthy to be a pastor of a church, you know? So I have several, you know, friends, pastor friends who I chat with and talk to, who also had to talk with me about, you know, me being worthy and everything. So just having a good group of people around me, man, and just having this happen the way it happened, I think that was God putting his stamp on me to say, hey, you're worthy and I called you for such a time as this. So,
yeah, it's funny. You talk about a good group to kind of talk to, and we know iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
And last show, and I think the show before that, I talked with two gentlemen, and we hit on the same thing, talking about the support group. And and one thing that I think it's easy, especially, and we see this in today's culture and society, we feel like support at times means agreement. But a support group doesn't necessarily agree with you.
But absolutely.
But they support
you. Accountable.
But they support you and they call you up.
Right.
And I think that's where we kind of miss it as men a lot.
Yeah.
Is we don't find those groups. You know, we don't find those guys that we can call on at any time of the night and say, hey man, I messed up, or hey man, I'm struggling with this.
Right.
You know, so I think it's important for us to really nail it home on those that, hey, guys, you need to find other men.
Right.
And you need to be willing to be raw with each other.
Yeah.
To not necessarily fluff it up.
Yeah.
But be dirty with your dirty as in, I don't mean inappropriate.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, be able to be yourself and let some things, you know, and be honest, you know. And that's one thing. I mean, you're right. This is something that I don't mind talking about publicly. I didn't grow up with my dad. You know, I didn't grow up with my dad in the household. You know, I didn't have my mom. You know, she married. I had a stepdad. But growing up, I still didn't have that man around me to show me how to be a man. You know, like, I never had a man to show me how to change a tire, how to change the oil in a car, you know, how to treat a woman and stuff like that. I didn't have that, you know. So growing up, you know, I looked at men, like you said, you know, who were doing those things. And I kind of patterned my life. I'm still patterning my life now after those men, people like my pastor.
Yep.
You know, and even some men in my church, you know, who are great men of God. You know, I try to watch how they treat their wives and so forth and so on. And just other men, just other people around, you know, I'm a great, listen, what I do is, Elliot, I watch people. I learn a lot by watching.
Oh yeah.
If I watch you long enough, I can learn how to do it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, to your point, man, I have a great group of men around me where I can be vulnerable and I can be honest. And I can talk about, if I'm struggling, if I'm having a bad day, a day of depression or something like that. I have great men around me who can, who I can bounce things off of,
If you were to, talk to somebody and, trying to kind of explain to them, hey, here's what I would recommend doing to find that group. What would you tell them?
Man, find out what you need. Find what you like. Find what you need. Maybe second, but ask yourself, number one, what do you need? What is it that you're lacking in your life as a man?
Yeah.
And then seek out what you need from a man. You know what I'm saying? Like if you need a man to show you how to, how to have a successful marriage. Find a couple who's been married for 50 years and still going on. You know what I'm saying? Like if you need a man to show you how to, do basic things with a car, find that man who knows how to do those things, man. And get you some mentors. You don't have to have one mentor. You don't have to have two. And here's the thing, you can have mentors in different areas of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
I have mentors in radio. I have mentors in pastoring. I have men in my life who I consider to be my brothers, who I can, talk to about things. You know what I'm saying? So find what you need and then seek out those men who have what you need.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So let's talk about your successful radio career, man.
My God, that's where, brother.
I met you, circling back, I met you on your show.
Yeah.
The Jabal Mates Morning Show. can I say no cap? I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah, go ahead.
No
I
cap.
Think that may be a little 2022, but it's all good, bro. But, who's judging? No one's judging.
No, but in all seriousness, so like I saw how much fun you was having on the radio and everything, and I was like, one day I just want to do something similar.
Wow.
Right? And I know I've sent you messages after messages. Hey man, so what would you have to do to become a radio personality?
Wow.
What would you recommend? And you've given me some good insight. I'm just at the age now, I'm just like, man, I can't go back to school. I ain't got it in me.
Yeah, I feel you.
So take us through that, man. Like, where did you start?
Man, where did I start? I'm gonna put this in my book. I'll be celebrating 20 years in the radio next year. I think 20 years next year, Elliot. But I started, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn or anything like that, but I was, check this out, bro. I was doing, and this is no cap, like Elliot said.
Hey,
I was doing the internet radio before it became popular, before it became what it is today. Back in 2002, I was a junior in high school.
Are you from? I didn't realize we were like that close to the same age.
Yeah, I was. I graduated in 2003.
I graduated in 2004. Okay,
come on, that's what's up, bro. Yeah, so I graduated high school in 2003. And even back then, I wanted to be on the radio, but I couldn't get on anywhere. I was, in high school, whatever. So I wanted to get on radio so bad. There was a radio company. There were two. One is still very active. There was one called Radio Destiny. And they would allow you to, they would give you software to create your own online radio station.
Oh, that's cool.
And I did that back then. I was literally doing internet radio before it became the phenomenon that it is right now.
Did you ever hear of Florence Underground?
No, I don't think so.
So they were an internet radio station. I found out about this whenever I was actually at Francis Marion. They were an underground internet radio station.
Wow. Yeah, I never heard of it.
Yeah. Well,
but it was another source, and they're still around. Live 365.
Okay.
And they're still around now. Very, very popular, very active. But those two, it was Radio Destiny and Live 365. I was on Live 365 after Radio Destiny went away. Again, this is back when I was in high school, like 2003, 2004. I had my own online radio station. That's how hungry I was, man. That's how bad I wanted it, bro.
Yeah.
That I say, you know what? Since no one's going to hire me right now, I create my own. And that's what I did. I created my own table. I had my own internet radio station. But I graduated high school in 03. And 04, a year after I graduated high school, 2004, I got my first opportunity in radio. I mean, let me back up. I'm skipping some stories. I'm telling my age. Let me back up. I got an internship. This is very important. I got an internship at the Columbia Urban League when I was like 16 years old. All right. And just to show you how things come full circle. I got an internship with the Columbia Urban League when I was like 16, 17 years old. I think they still do this program. It was a summer program where they would pay you to go work for whatever, like in whatever field you want to go in. They'll pay you like every week or every 2 weeks throughout the summer to do what you wanted to do. And I chose radio, of course. And Elliot, the station that I chose back then when I was 16, 17 years old, is the station I work for now in Columbia.
WFMV?
WFMV.
Hey, man. That's what's up, dude.
You know? And
it's 95. Sort of, is it 95.3?
It's 96.1. We have four frequencies now in Columbia, but back then it was 95.3. Yeah. But I got an internship when I was 16, man, at WFMV. Then I had to go through school. Then in 2004, a year after I graduated, I got an internship at another local station here in Columbia. It was an R&B station, and I got an internship there for about a year. And my internship, just to show you how God works, my internship was about to end. And the PD at the time, Doug Williams.
Hey, that's where I'm from.
Doug Williams. He gave me my first real radio job.
Now, where at in KISS. The PD?
Huh?
Where at in the PD?
No, it was in Columbia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in Columbia.
Gotcha.
Back then it was KISS 98.5, but now
it's
103.1 now in Columbia.
It's the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
That was when Tom Joyner was on, man. I got a story about that as well. I interned for about a year there. I got put on and I stayed at KISS. I did Sunday mornings at KISS for like 7 years. But while I was there, bro, I've always wanted to be on the station in Columbia where I am now on WFMV. That was always my goal, to be on WFMV. Long story short, I got the opportunity to work for WFMV in 2000. I never forget it. It was May 2011. I got the phone call to come over there, fill out the application. I started there on Saturday nights. They moved me from weekends to during the week. And I never forget this either, bro, real quick. The Bible talks about how your gift will make room for you. My gift made room for me, man, because at the time, this is back in 2014, I think it was, they didn't, a lot of radio stations to carry national syndicated morning shows, they have local people at the station who usually do like the weather and the news, local news, stuff like that. At the time, WFMV didn't have that. So, show you how your gift makes room for you. At the time, we were carrying the Yolanda Adams morning show, but we didn't have a local team there to cut in with the local news, whatever. So I was able, I was one of the ones that they put on Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. to do the local news during the Yolanda Adams morning show. I did that for like 4 or 5 years, and they put me in the afternoons, and I've been there ever since, man.
Wow. Dude, I remember... Yeah. I remember the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Tom Joyner, listen. You know how some people are fascinated with Michael Jackson, Beyonce.
Chamon.
Yeah, you know, all those folks, you know what I'm saying? You know, Prince, and the list goes on and on. You know, Sonny and Cher.
Was he your fascination?
Tom Joyner.
Yeah.
I have never met Tom Joyner. I came close to meeting him a little bit. I interviewed his co-host, Sybil Wilkes, on my podcast about 2 years ago. And that was like, wow, to me. To even talk to her, to talk to someone that I grew up listening to,
who
sat next to Tom Joyner, man, that blew my mind, bro. But Tom Joyner, that's who I mimic my morning show that I do off of, Tom Joyner. Because he's the blueprint
for Black
American radio, you know? So, yeah.
You know, for the longest time, I was trying to mimic what I was doing kind of after Pat McAfee.
I love Pat. I didn't get to know Pat until he came to the WWE.
Yeah, so
yeah,
Pat, dude, I love the Pat McAfee show. Real quick, catching up on some comments. Ron Emerson says, what's good, gentlemen?
Ron, what's up?
And he also said, the Donnie Simpson show?
I know Donnie. Come on, Ron. Yeah, I know Donnie.
And
I don't know him, but I know of him.
And Tylan D'Angelo Laceth, also PCW Soda City Champion, D'Angelo.
Okay,
says, yo, and Keith. Hey, and Ron again. Hey, the Donnie Simpson show was great.
Yeah.
So guys, if you're just tuning in, this is a buddy of mine, Jamal Bates. He is the man. You're in how many states now?
South Carolina, Georgia, and Indiana.
Come on, dude. How many cities?
Ohio. Ohio, I think it is.
So I remember when you were just in Columbia and then you just got into Florence. And like, I keep seeing cities just pop up from your show, man. And I'm just like, come on, Jamal, let's go.
And that's always been a dream of mine. I've always wanted to do a morning show. Just something about morning shows that you had to get a chance to get people up.
Ron says, I'm also a big Elliot in the morning show fan. Hey, Ron, speak that, brother. I'll take that. You know,
okay, Big Ellie. Okay, Ellie, we might have to come up with a character for you on morning show, bro. Because you know my morning show. You know, I could talk to you about this. My morning show is very black. It's African American listeners.
So here's the thing: I have 1% black in me. So, let me back up. You know I have 1% African in me, and I have broken it all the way down to being from Senegal, my friend.
Come on.
So
maybe we come up with some kind of character. On the morning show, man, we have to figure it out and see what we can do. White chocolate. I mean, listen.
What movie is that from? That's from a movie. White chocolate.
Is it Coming to America?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe Coming to America. I'm not sure. But we might have to come up with a character for the morning show, man, for you.
Listen, I can do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah, we might. And see, I got some ideas. Here's the thing about my ideas sometimes. I have to remember that it's a gospel morning show.
Praise God.
So I can't go to the far left or far right sometime with my ideas. I got to keep it like, you know what I'm saying? I got to keep it safe because I have an idea, but I'm not sure. We said it's a real show. Okay. The Big Ellie in the Morning Show.
Oh.
Okay, cool. Not bad.
Well, thanks, Ron.
Just kill this dream, Ron. I gotta check that out, Ron. Thank you, brother. The sound effects, I love it,
bro. Oh, he said he thinks it's Malibu's Most Wanted for the movie reference. I can see that. Yeah,
so, I love it.
So, man, yeah, I love this. I use the Rodecaster Pro.
I gotta get one. I don't have one yet. I've been hearing a whole lot about that. I gotta get one.
You know, if anyone says a bad word, I can bleep it out.
I gotta get one of those, man.
Yeah, dude. Before we continue, I do need to do something real quick before we continue.
Do it.
You gotta pay the bills. You know what I mean?
Do it. Yes, sir.
Jamal, you like coffee?
Absolutely.
Dude, people hear me say this like every time when I do the show, so they know it's coming. This podcast is brought to you by Day Soul Coffee Lab out of Birmingham, Alabama. Y'all, I consider myself a coffee connoisseur. I absolutely love coffee, and I found what I believe to be the absolute best coffee out there. With Day Soul Coffee Lab, you can be sure to get coffee that's super smooth and always fresh roasted. Some of the best, if not the best, coffee you'll ever drink. So swing over to the website, daysoulcoffeelab.co, and use promo code LOWDOWN to get 10% off your order. They even have a subscription option where they'll deliver coffee directly to you every month. So, guys, it's a no-brainer. You're going to drink coffee, you might as well make it great coffee.
Yeah. I love it.
Day Soul, man. My buddy Bert, I went Well, he went to high school with my brother, but yeah, owns it.
Okay.
Really good coffee.
Does he have like Keurig, like little Keurig thing?
Cups? I don't know if he has the pod yet or not.
Okay.
But I do know you can get it. You can get already ground up. So you could, okay, if you have the Keurig coffee filter,
yeah,
the mesh filter, you can just pour your coffee in there. Excuse me. Let's see here. What's that?
Coffee. I love coffee. I'm about to check it out.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude, check it out. Ron says DC 101. He took over for Grease Man and Howard Stern.
Okay.
And he also says legit the only lab I would consider buying something from in Alabama. So. They sold coffee lab. All right. So, yeah, man. So in regards to, figuring out a character, man, I've started diving into voiceover work.
Yeah.
You know, I've got kids, so I had to do different characters and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, cause
whatever you want to do, man.
You said, well, I'm about to think about it some more. Cause you said the white chocolate, you know what I'm saying? I got to figure out what we can do with that white chocolate name, you know, and keep it, you know, and keep it Christian. You know what I'm saying? Keep it holy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Brother E.
How we can do it.
Brother E.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. You know.
So a little bit. So I don't know if you may know this about me. So our relationship. You may realize that when it comes to my relationship with people who don't look like me,
yeah,
I tend to have a lot of friends like that, right? yeah. It's funny because like when my wife and I were first married and I was first doing music, she always she's gonna kill me for saying this. Oh well, guys,
here, you, Elliot.
I'll text you my address so you know where to find the body. But, no, she'd always say, hey, you know, are there any white churches you're playing at?
Wow.
I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, just, you know, it's fine, but, you know, they have a church a lot longer than we have church.
So she was saying that black churches are longer than white churches.
Oh, for fact. I mean.
It's the truth.
There's
no. Except for mine.
Dude, have you ever seen Gary Owen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gary? Yeah.
She called the Holy Ghost four times.
It's true because we can say this, because when you all have church, you know, it's you get up there, you sing a song, and the pastor, you know, he does 30 minutes and you guys sing a song and that's it. But for us, we got to testify, we got to run, we got to shout, we got to dance, we got to get yelled at and, you know, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying?
What's funny is, so she grew up Southern Baptist. I grew up Pentecostal Holiness.
Ooh, really?
I did. So, like.
Elliot, when?
What do you mean when? My whole life, bro.
In this lifetime?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, man. So, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's what's up, bro.
Oh, yeah. So, like, for me, 3-4 hour service is nothing. I mean, that's just another Sunday.
But for her, she's like,
she's like, listen, my stomach's eating my backbone. I'm hungry.
Listen, and I think with COVID, maybe not.
Yeah, you're hungry for the Lord. Come on.
A lot of churches have changed.
Oh, for sure.
They've shortened their time since COVID. Maybe not. I don't know, but, you know, but yeah. So she's telling the truth. Black churches are longer than white churches.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, when I grew up, there was no going to the restaurant after we ate.
Really?
Or no going to the restaurant at the church. We went home because mama cooked.
Ah,
so like when we got home at 1:30, 2 o'clock, okay. Dinner's still there. You know,
man,
living in the bigger city. Or I won't say even living in a bigger city. The majority of the Baptists I knew, 12:30, they got out and they were going to a restaurant somewhere to eat Sunday dinner.
You feel bad, Al, because you couldn't go with them?
Did I feel bad? Nah, man, yeah. I didn't covet. I ain't mad. You know, I want COVID in my neighbor.
Yeah.
Number nine. Like, I got it. Okay.
I want to go to Quincy's with them. Darn it. I gotta go home. Quincy's.
We did have a Quincy's growing up, but it was way too far from my house.
Yeah.
No, it was like Shady Rest, you know? You know, it's like truck stop slash restaurant.
My God.
But yeah, man. So I grew up Pentecostal in this.
I didn't know that about you, man.
How did you not?
I did not know that you grew up.
Ain't no Baptist acting like this.
You said what now?
Ain't no Baptist.
Ain't no Southern Baptist acting like this. You grew up and our friend didn't tell me that. I mean, he didn't have a reason. Jay Will. I mean, he didn't have a reason to tell us that, but I did not know that. That's very interesting, man.
Yeah, man. So all my life. When I got into high school and everything, I kind of started branching out. Denominationally.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend was Presbyterian at the time. So she had youth group on Wednesday nights. So I went to that Presbyterian youth group on Wednesday night. We went to a youth group together at a Baptist church on Sunday nights. And then when I became a junior, senior in high school, my church actually split. Mm. So when that happened, I just told my dad, I was like, hey, I don't want to be part of a church that's splitting. So I'm going to go to this church that hasn't split.
Yeah.
And that's actually where I got, honestly, that's when I got into leading worship.
Wow.
So I went to this First Baptist church in Johnsonville First Baptist, and met my youth pastor, and he really kind of took me under his wing, and he's where I got into leading worship. I went to college, got a guitar, learned how to play. I was in college, and would come back and lead worship on Sundays or youth camps and stuff like that. And
yeah,
you know, did that for a good while until he moved. He moved down to Florida. He's now a executive pastor lead pastor at a church in Florida. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, so it was one of those things that for me, I was raised Pentecost holiness for the majority of my childhood, but I got some of the Presbyterian and I got some of the Baptist, even went to a Baptist college for a couple of years.
Okay.
And, even led worship at Baptist Collegiate Ministry, Francis Marion. So, I'm all about the gifts of the Spirit. But I have a different take on the importance of the gifts of the Spirit than a lot of Pentecostals do.
Yeah.
So you may know this, you may not, but under the AG and Pentecostal evidence of the Holy Spirit are speaking in tongues, prophecy, stuff as gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
Where I believe evidence of the Holy Spirit is actually the fruits of the Spirit. So it's because the way I look at it is anybody can mimic a gift.
Yeah.
But you can't mimic fruit.
Right. Right. Or either you got it, you don't.
Yep. So.
Yeah. And it's a lot of that. Well, I won't say that, but I said it already. It's a lot of, I've heard where there are some churches, I've heard this years ago, there are some churches where you can learn how to speak in tongues.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that kind of turned me off for a while. Not turned me off, but it kind of made me side-eye, you know, churches, man, because it's almost like you're playing with God and the Holy Spirit.
I get it, man. Heck, you even see it on social media at times where, hey, come to join this seminar and learn how to speak in tongues, learn how to speak or sing in your prophetic. And I'm like, bro, come on, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's become such a gimmick now. You know,
I mean,
it's a church in every corner and all that stuff, man. It's
almost pushing very new agey stuff.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of my story in a nutshell. This is me in
Love
a nutshell.
It.
Help him in a nutshell.
Love it.
So let's talk,
man. That's what's up, bro.
Let's talk more about you.
Okay.
All right. So a lot of people don't know this about us. There was a time when we were going to actually start up a wrestling podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never got.
And I still want to do that, but I got to find, I don't have the time to do it. That's my thing.
Well, I think that's something that I'm really learning to balance is capacity.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And having to order things that are most important for me and to me. So, but you asked me earlier if I've been watching WWE.
Let's talk about it. Let's do it.
And I watch it here and there.
Why here and there, Elliot? Why here and there?
Because I mainly watch AEW. Listen, I know your middle name is Mark. It's okay.
Elliot, I cannot get into, this is no knock on AEW. And let's, when I say, like, I'll say this.
here we go.
Competition is good. Having another wrestling company is good for the superstars, for the wrestlers. It's good for them, wrestlers. Right? It's good for them.
Yeah.
You know, because if things don't work out at one company, they can go to another one. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But I'm loyal, man. I'm too loyal sometimes.
Were you a WWF guy growing up? WWF guy? Were you a WWF guy growing up?
I was the WCW guy.
You was a WCW guy.
I was the WCW guy. And of course, you know, once they began to fade away, everything became about WWE. So I became a WWE guy.
So
wasn't really, really big on ECW.
I wasn't either. But I guess for me, man, especially the past, I'd say 5 or 6 years up to AEW starting.
Yeah,
man, it was just, for me, it was just bland.
I think that's because of who was in charge. Maybe we all know who was in charge.
Well, and
maybe he's still in charge.
Yeah, but he's still in charge.
Yeah.
There. Listen, I will say this. When the brouhaha and kerfuffle was happening with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
He stepped away.
Yeah. He retired.
Yeah. Yes. and you saw son-in-law, Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
but you saw Paul.
Yeah.
Son-in-law Paul take over.
Yeah.
For a little while, you could tell he took over.
It was a change. It was a difference.
And I was like, let's go. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd say probably the past 2 to 3 months here lately, you're seeing old daddy come back.
I think it's kind of I think they are both having some influence on it. You know, I think it's still, you know, Pops. And at the same time, I think it's still son-in-law. You know what I'm saying? But I'm loving.
I'll say the bloodline is the best thing that's happened in wrestling for a good while.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I also will say the worst writing was what happened with Cody Rhodes.
You don't think he still has a chance to become this big star? You think it's
I don't think anybody's invested anymore.
I think they are.
They've lost investment, I think. Is he a draw? Yeah, he's still a draw. But I think
with him, you know, people love a good. Do you remember the story, the movie, A Christmas Story?
The chase is always the best part. I get that.
Right. Yeah. When Rafferty would get beat up every day by the big bullies, then one day Rafferty got fed up. He was like, and a guy was talking to him, and Rafferty was like, I'm not going to take.
So Lesnar's the bully and Cody.
So my point is, Cody's being bullied right now, but it's going to come machine. A time when he's going to overcome all the bullies and win a championship, and it's going to be sweet, and it's going to be great.
For me, Jay not winning at SummerSlam is a travesty.
How you know he's not going to win?
Come on, bro.
he may not win, but I think they're going to shape it in a way where it still makes him look good.
And I'll say, you know what I'm saying? I'll tell you, here's what could happen, right? Because with the tribal rules, you know, Roman We the ones.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all the twos. We the one.
That's right.
So with the tribal rules, what you saw 2 weeks ago was Solo went to attack Jay.
Right.
Roman stopped it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, Roman respects tribal rules, blah, blah, blah. Well, this past week, attack.
Right.
So what could happen is they could say, man, forget tribal rules. I'm the head of the table. I'm the tribal chief. Go to do their own thing. And then, if you smell.
I've heard rumors about that. I don't know what's taking that so long. It's making it only makes sense for The Rock to come back. In my mind, it makes sense for Rikishi to make some kind of appearance to say something.
Yeah.
It makes sense for who else is out there? I wish they hadn't let kind of has something to do with the men, but I wish they had kept Trinity. One of them, I forgot who his wife it is.
Yeah, so that's Jimmy's wife.
Yeah, I wish they had kept her and the Tamina. And
she,
you know.
So Trinity chose to leave.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Her
I just
and
think she would have did great in that group. Almost like a Judgment Day. They could have been like the Judgment Day.
Here's the thing.
With Rhea.
Here's the thing that I think so many people get frustrated with WWE at times is...
I am. I'll tell you why.
They don't do what makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this makes the perfect sense, guys. Hey, let's blur the lines with reality and script.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I mean, but at the same time, you have to look at it as they see the bigger picture. It may not make sense
moment.
And here's one reason why I am a little upset with them right now at this moment. LA Knight.
Ah, bruh.
I love LA Knight.
Arguably the best thing in wrestling right now.
Bruh, he's hot right now. And I'm like, why y'all not putting this dude on? What's up, man?
Well, and for me, it's, you know, Triple H knows too, right? Because he even came out and made the comment that, hey, this isn't the end for LA Knight.
But he's hot right now, Elliot.
I'm with you. I mean, think,
when that man comes out, it's like, come on.
Keith commented and said, I watch WWE, AEW, and Impact. I just love watching wrestling. Hey, Keith, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
But no.
You're WWE guy, Keith.
Dude, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I get it, right? Oh, the chase. Enjoy the chase. Sometimes you just got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. But I'm loving Cody and Brock. They're still keeping it interesting. You know, I love Brock. Brock, I don't know. If I was a wrestler, man, I would tell Brock, like, bro, don't hurt me too much, bro. Like, hey, take it easy on me, bro.
Bestseller in the game.
Yeah.
And I absolutely believe that. He's the bestseller in the.
Yeah. Yeah. I would still have to tell him, don't hurt me too much.
don't throw me
down too hard or something. You know what I'm saying? Jesus. Like.
So what's some things that, you know, being a wrestling fan and being a pastor.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, draw from wrestling and say, hey, you know what, this is a, you know, look at things going on in wrestling or have gone on in wrestling and see how it relates to your faith and tie them together?
Not really, but I will tell you a true story that I'll probably share with my church family on Sunday. This literally happened this week.
If you're watching live, still show up this Sunday.
Right. You're right. But this happened to me. I had a situation happening. And I had a moment in my car today. I'm sure you've had these moments as well, where you just riding and driving your car and you just blurt out, thank you, Jesus. You're just thankful. You're just grateful.
Yeah.
I had that moment today. So I had to go get two new tires for my car, Friday. So I got my two new tires. I went to a tire spot. I didn't go back to the dealership. They had to order in all that, if like waiting. So I went to a tire spot. And so they rotated my tires and everything. So Friday I was good. went errands all this Friday. Good Friday morning. I went and did my errands. I'm good. Got home around 3 o'clock from running errands. I got home and I cleaned up. I was going to take my trash out Saturday around 4 o'clock. And I looked at my car, or what I thought it was someone else's car. And I looked at my car. It's like, hey, that person's missing a rim or hubcap on that car. I'm like, hey, that person is me. That's my rim. Where's my freaking rim? So it turns out that the people at the car, this is going to make sense in a minute. It turned out that the people at the car at the tire place didn't put my rim, didn't put the hubcap on tightly.
Oh.
So at some point Saturday, my rim, the thing came off. So I panic. I'm like, crap, that doesn't look good at all. So I called the dealership. I was like, hey, you know, I need this particular, you know, hubcap for my car. They were like, cool, we got it. Come get it or whatever, whatever. So I went to go get it that Saturday. So I had to wait until Monday, yesterday, to get it put on my car because I have the kind of car I have. I had to paint my hubcaps black or whatever. It's gonna make sense, I promise. I had to paint my hubcaps black. So I couldn't get that done until Monday, yesterday. So I got that done. Me and my brother did it. So I left his house. We painted it, everything, you know, spray painted everything. I'm good. I'm on my way to work to the radio station. I'm feeling good. I'm good now. I get to the radio station, Elliot. I get out my car, Elliot. I just want to double check my tires, Elliot. And guess what, Elliot? Another freaking hubcap came off. I'm like, bruh, what's up, man? What is going on? But luckily, it wasn't the new one that I had just brought. It was another old one. I'm like, crap, they must think I have Elliot's pockets. I don't have money like this to keep buying freaking hubcaps,
bro. It must be Big Elliot Morning Show that he was talking about earlier.
So I had to buy another hubcap Monday, yesterday. So I brought another one. As a matter of fact, I was at work. I had just got to work, remember? And I tried to go back to see if I could find it where it fell off at. I couldn't find it. So it's like 4:30, close to 5 o'clock. I'm like, crap, who can I send to go get this hubcap for me, this new one? So I sent my nephew over there. So he went and got it. I cashed up him the money and everything. He went and got it. I went back to my brother's house when I got off work. We did it again, spray painted it again, and I've been good since then. But to your point, I was riding in my car today, bro, and the Lord showed me. He said, Jamal, you know, that's how your Christian life should be. While you're on this journey, the old should be falling off.
Oh, man, that's good.
The old should be falling off. And you shouldn't be able to, you shouldn't want to find the old that fell off.
Yeah.
He says, like, the old stuff passes away, and behold, I'm making all things new. So when God showed me that today, man, to your point, I was like, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation, man.
That's good.
So it's stuff like that that happens in my life that I get, that God gives me revelation about. And that really blessed me. I was like, God, thank you. Because here I am, you know, spending money trying to buy a new hubcap and everything and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I did it. But God was like, that's how your walk with me should be. After a while, the old stuff should be falling off. And you shouldn't want to go back to find it because it's old.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make all things new. So that really blessed me, man. And I was riding in my car just thinking. And God, he literally showed me that today. And I was riding in my car thinking about that. And I just yelled out of my car, like, thank you, Jesus. Like, wow. Thank you.
That's good, man. Yeah, it's funny.
God gives me revelations like that, brother.
You know, so a while back, a couple of years ago, something similar happened to talking about revelation, right? And I told you earlier that I was born and raised Pentecost Holiness. I've never spoken in tongue.
Wow.
Let me rephrase. I had never spoken in tongue, right? So,
yeah.
Had a good friend of mine who's like, Elliot, he's like, we were talking about gifts of the Spirit and everything. He's like, man, I'm just starting to believe that it's not real.
Wow.
I said, really? He's like, man, he said, I've prayed and prayed and prayed for God to do this. He said, I'm to the point now that I'm just angry.
Wow.
He's like, because I want it so bad and nothing's happened. And I looked at him and said, man, I said, you know what? I've never spoken it. I said, but I believe it.
Right.
I said, and I think, honestly, man, I'm not saying you're not coming from the right place, but maybe you're not.
Yeah.
Maybe your approach is wrong.
Maybe you want it for the wrong reasons.
Maybe there's something that that you really need to seek forgiveness for.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I said, I'm not sure. I said, but if you seek, you will find.
Absolutely.
So we had the conversation, and a day or two later, he calls me just sobbing. I said, dude, you all right? He said, man, he said, you will not believe what just happened to me. I said, all right, well, what happened, dude? he's like, man, he said, I'm driving on the way home from work. You're working in Charlotte. He said, I'm praying and I'm asking God. He said, I'm at the point where I'm kind of fighting with God. He said, and clear as day, I hear God say, pull over. I said, do what? And he said, if you want this, pull over.
Wow.
He said, and I pulled over. I pulled my car over. He said, and I felt this overwhelming feeling. He said, that's the only way I can explain it. I became overwhelmed. And I began to pray out loud. And before I knew it, man, I was speaking in tongue. God's Holy Spirit had fallen all over me.
Wow.
He said, and man, I saw stuff. He said, stuff that I've been struggling with became so clear in my mind. He said, and I couldn't do nothing but say thank you.
Wow.
He said, he said, I've approached it wrong the entire time.
Wow.
And I said, well, man, I said, how was it? He said, it's one of the best feelings I've ever had.
Wow.
He said, he said, you want to talk about a peace that surpasses all understanding? He said, that was it. Wow. He said, everything I'm dealing with. I mean, because he had been dealing with stuff with work, the possibility of layoffs, losing his job and stuff. And man, I told him, I've never done it. He said, man, he said, I hope you do. I hope you experience. He said, dude, if you want it, seriously, pray for it. And a day or two later, man, I'm sitting there. I'm taking a shower, and I do a lot of praying when I'm taking a shower.
You know, I'm glad you're taking a shower too, Ellie. That's good too.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, it's probably the quietest time of my day.
So, I feel you, bro.
So I'm sitting there, I'm praying and everything, and I remember praying, God, if you can do this for Rob, I know you can do it for me. And I said, God, I want that prayer language with you. I want to be able to have those intimate moments with you, and pray in a way that it's for me and you,
right?
It's for you,
right?
Not even for me.
Right.
It edifies you.
Right.
And I'm praying and stuff. He just says, open your mouth. Okay. He's like, no, open your mouth and speak out loud. All right. And man, I did it. And a language came out that I knew. It was only him.
Wow.
And I started crying and crying and crying. And man, I tell people all the time, if you've never experienced it, I want to encourage people to be willing to experience it. Because there's a peace, man, and a clarity that comes over you that is indescribable.
Wow.
And not long after that, man, I remember it felt like the world came against me, dude.
Wow.
Dealing with depression.
Yeah.
Feeling unworthy. Talked about unworthiness earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm driving and just not really in the best place mentally.
Yeah.
And God said, I heard God say, you have a prayer tongue. Pray to me.
Wow.
Because I couldn't make sense of what to say, what to ask for.
Right.
And he just said, pray to me.
Wow.
I'll pray through you. You just open your mouth.
Wow. Wow.
And man, the weight that got lifted in that moment. Again, I can't explain it. And I know people who don't understand speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. I get it. Hey, that's cuckoo. That's nuts.
Right, right.
Man, I would challenge anyone that said there's a lot of other stuff that people do today that isn't biblical, that is much kookier than speaking in tongues. So,
right.
But man, it's that revelation, right?
Yeah.
When I finished leading worship at my former church, a lady shared a revelation with me about me and my family.
Wow.
Have you ever had that type of experience?
Excuse me.
And I don't mean something that's kind of vague. I mean something that's pretty pretty pinpointed.
I can't say that I have.
So
being honest, I can't say that I have.
So it was July of 2018. July 2018. I'm at a food truck festival at my old church.
Yeah.
A lady comes up to me and says, "Hey, how's Lindsay's pregnancy?" I'm like, "Huh?" She said, "Are y'all not expecting?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Oh, okay. I must have just dreamt it. All right, thanks." Well,
that was it.
Well, no, that wasn't it. That was the beginning.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So I gave my notice in July that we were going to be stepping away from that church and stepping down as worship leader and stuff. And it was just time.
Yeah.
And my last Sunday at that church, she comes up to me again. She says, "Elliot," she says, "I know this is going to sound crazy." She said, "But are you sure y'all aren't pregnant?" I said, "No, ma'am. We're not." She said, "Well, Elliot," she said, "I've had dream after dream after dream after dream of you holding a little girl and praying over her. And she's going to have you, and she's yours. She has your name. And she's going to, you know, she, I've seen that you're having a little girl." I said, "Well, man, we're not pregnant."
Right.
I said, "But you know what? As soon as we get pregnant, I promise you'll be the first to know." Let me tell you, I said that with the most sarcastic tone you can think of.
Right.
A few weeks later, my wife feels a lump on her breast. Immediately being the medical professional she is, our minds go to cancer.
Yeah.
So they schedule ultrasound and everything to have it looked at or whatever. And between the time that she felt it and the time that she was supposed to go have it looked at, she realized, "Oh no, I'm late." So then she went from hey, she calls and says, hey, I just took a pregnancy test. I'm pregnant.
Wow.
So then they can't do the ultrasound. They instead have to do a biopsy.
Wow.
Because the ultrasound has radiation.
Yeah.
Or one of them, they couldn't do some procedure because it had radiation.
Yeah.
And they had to do a biopsy instead. So she walks in and she's crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's crying. She says, I'm pregnant. I'm wow. like, oh, we're having our little girl. She's like, huh? I said, we're having our little girl. She said, you don't know that. I said, listen, I said, you don't know this. Because I hadn't told her at the time. I said, but.
Wow.
I said, Miss Reno, the lady's name, has told me on multiple occasions already that we were going to be pregnant and we were going to have a little girl and that we were going to have to pray for her. And that she had a vision of me holding the little girl and praying over the little girl. I said, so it's a girl.
Wow.
You can't tell me otherwise. So for 12 weeks, we did the blood test. I told my wife, we're having a little girl. Do the blood test. Comes back. It's a little girl.
Wow.
Fast forward 9 months. My wife has the baby. And we think the baby's fine, but the baby has to go in to the NICU for a hemorrhage, an umbilical hemorrhage. So while she was being birthed, there was an umbilical rupture that caused my daughter to lose blood.
Wow.
And my wife was the one that noticed that my daughter wasn't breathing correctly and was the one who told, because my wife is actually a mother baby nurse.
Wow.
And told her coworkers, hey, you need to put O2 on my daughter, check her oxygen levels, check her blah, 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 because she's not breathing right.
Wow.
I thought she was just kind of like normal.
Yeah.
Well, daughter goes in her NICU. What does a dad do? A dad prays over his daughter.
Wow. Wow.
My daughter's name, Ellery. Ellery.
Wow. Wow.
So, talk about revelation.
Wow. Is that lady still around? Is she still with us?
Oh, yeah. Miss Reno? Yes, she is.
Wow. How did she take the news when she found out that her revelation became a reality?
Her words exactly. Praise God.
Wow.
And she said,
that's amazing, brother.
And she said, praise God. She said, God is good. She said, thank you, Jesus. And she said, Elliot, she said, I always worry. You know, she said, I not necessarily that I should. She said, but I never want to present a message that I feel like God's told me to present and it be wrong.
Wow.
She said, but when I present that, I have to wear it. She said, I just have to make sure that I don't get in the way.
Yeah.
She said, because it's hard to do and it's easy to do. She said, people with the gift of prophecy at times want to get in the way because they feel something. She said, but you've got to be able to, you know, wade through what you feel and what God's telling you.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, dude. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. I love it. This has been a great conversation, bro. I loved it.
Yeah, man. Hey, dude, let the people know where they can catch you at. Any social media handles or anything?
Yeah, social media is simple. Jamal Bakes Media. That's on Instagram. We got so many social media now. Jesus. All over social media, Jamal Bakes Media. Check out my website. It's the same thing, jamalbakesmedia.com. I have a morning show that Ellie and I talked about. My morning show airs in Florence, South Carolina, Augusta, Georgia, and Anderson. from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. And I also do middays in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Monday through Saturday from 10 to 2. And then, of course, I do afternoons here in Columbia from 3 to 7. So I'm on the radio every day somewhere, literally.
Man.
So God's blessing.
Superstar. Pastor.
Nah, I don't know about that, man.
Pastor.
I don't know about that.
It's
just doing what the Lord tells me to do. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. Well, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, man, I appreciate everything you do.
Appreciate it. Thank you, man.
I love
Thank
watching you. Your journey. It's wow. been fun to watch, and I hope I continue to get to watch it. So,
absolutely,
man. Thank you for joining me, guys. We appreciate you all tuning in tonight. As always, guys, be sure to head on over to Revolution Nutrition in Camden, South Carolina, where community nutrition meet. Located in the heart of Dusty Bend, they offer healthy protein shakes and iced coffees, energizing herbal teas, olive refreshers, and kid-friendly drinks and positive vibes. Use promo code LOWDOWN and get 10% off your order. Guys, it's been a fun one. Thank you for tuning in, as always. My name's Elliot, here with Jamal Bates. And as always, let's keep it poppin'.